Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd. second quarter 2023 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After management's prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, Ms. Stella Wang, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's second quarter 2023 earnings conference call. The company's results were released early today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman of the Board of Directors and the Chief Executive Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd., Mr. Gener Miao, Chief Marketing Officer of JinkoSolar Co., Ltd., Mr. Pan Li, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd., and Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Co., Ltd. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company's highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor Provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
很高兴凭借出色的市场布局、产品力和供应链管 理， 我们克服了供应链价格的和终端需求的波 动， 取得了稳健增长的业绩。二季度组件出货量约 17.8 吉瓦， 环比增长 36.2%。有竞争力的 N 型组件出货量约 10.4 吉瓦， 环比一季度增长 74.1%。我们很高兴成为了行业率先达成三季度 N 型组件出货量10吉瓦里程碑的组件企业。此 外， 我们在美国市场出货量环比一季度有所提 升， 滞港费的影响大大地减弱。我们在供应链管理、技术进步和工艺改进等方面所付出的努力也陆续转化为盈利水平的提升。二季度净利润为 $1.801 million， 环比提升 65.6%。经调整利润为$1.967 million，环比提升 70.5%。摊薄每股收益为$0.77，环比提升 48.5%。
We are pleased to report solid growth as we overcame volatility in supply chain prices and end demand, thanks to our excellent market network, the highly quality products, and our highly effective supply chain management. Module shipments in the second quarter were approximately 17.8 gigawatts, up 36.2% sequentially. Shipments of the competitive N-type module were approximately 10.4 gigawatts, up 74.1% sequentially. We are happy and proud to be the first module manufacturer to reach the milestone of shipping 10 gigawatts of N-type modules in a single quarter. Besides, our shipments to the U.S. market increased from the first quarter, largely reducing demurrage charges. Our efforts in supply chain management, technology advancement, and process improvement also improved our profitability. Net income was $180.1 million in the second quarter, up 65.6% sequentially. Adjusted net income was 196.7 million, up 70.5% sequentially. Diluted earnings per ordinary share were $0.77, up 48.5% sequentially.
由于硅料产出的大幅释放以及库存积累，二季度硅料价格出现剧烈下降，组件价格也出现一些波动。大部分客户对于价格波动较为敏感，持观望态度的客户会在一定程度上放缓下单速度，部分程度上影响了组件需求。随着三季度产业链价格下探企稳，国内客户开始下单采购并启动建设，低价带来的部分海外市场需求提升，我们预期下半年光伏产市场产销两旺。
Due to the substantial release of polysilicon production volumes and excessive inventory, polysilicon prices declined sharply in the second quarter, which also caused a certain volatility in module prices. Since most customers are sensitive to price, they were cautious and slowed down their orders, which to some extent affected our module demand. As lower supply chain prices stabilized in the third quarter, domestic customers started to place orders, and major projects were initiated and started construction in China. The lower prices also led to a surge in demand from some overseas markets. We expect production and sales in the PV market to rebound in the second half.
随着越来越多的企业布局 TOPCon 的产能， Engine TOPCon 技术成为行业主流，已经成为了确定性趋势。但部分企业受制于技术储备不足、工艺技术路线选择的差异，出现了项目延期、产能效率爬坡不及预期等问题。有竞争力的 N 型产能仍供不应求。截止二季度末，我们的182 N 型 TOPCon 的量产效率已经达到了 25.5%， N 型组件功率达到580瓦左右，相较同版型的 P 型高出了25至30瓦， N 型一体化成本相较 P 型仍保持在有竞争力的水平。我们有信心通过持续的技术迭代和工艺优化，保持效率和成本的持续领先。
With more and more players deploying TOPCon production capacity, N-type TOPCon is certain to become the mainstream technology in the industry. However, some of the new entrants experienced project delays and slower than expected production and efficiency ramped up due to insufficient technical know-how and differences in technology and process, keeping competitive N-type production in short supply. As of the end of the second quarter, the mass-produced efficiency of our 182 N-type TOPCon capacity had reached 25.5%, with N-type module power output of around 580 Wp, which is about 25 to 30 Wp more than P-type modules of the same version. The integrated cost of N-type module remained competitive compared to P-type modules. We are confident we will continue to lead in efficiency and cost through technology iteration and process optimization.
五月底，我们宣布了56G瓦一体化山西大基地的建设公告，预期建成后将成为光伏行业最大的 N 型一体化生产基地。山西一体化大基地是金科引领光伏行业的又一次生产模式创新，将充分体现了产品和技术的先进性、投资成本低、运营效率高以及信息化和智能化等优势。同时，我们积极应对全球光伏产业格局的变化，加大了海外产业链的建设。美国一个 G 瓦组件扩产预计于九月份开始投产。截至目前，金科在海外已经形成了行业领先的产业链布局，具体从硅片、电池到组件的一体化生产能力，同时具备专业的可追溯性和卓越的产品竞争力。随着下半年海外 N 型产能的布局以及 N 型产能的不断投入，年底我们将形成海外一体化12G以上的产能，其中 N 型占比75%以上。我们将持续致力于不断完善的全球产业链建设，为全球客户提供优质高效的产品和服务。
At the end of May, we announced the construction of a major production base of 56 gigawatts integrated wafer cell module capacity in Shanxi, which will become the largest N-type integrated production facility in the industry. Our Shanxi integrated base is another strategic expansion of the production model championed by Jinko Solar in the PV industry that will fully demonstrate our advantages in highly efficient technology and products, lower investment costs, and greater operational efficiency, as well as intelligent and smart manufacturing capabilities. Meanwhile, we proactively responded to shifts in the global PV landscape by expanding our overseas industrial chain. The 1 gigawatt capacity expansion for N-type modules in the U.S. is expected to start production in September this year. So far, we have established an industry-leading overseas industrial chain network. This integrated production capabilities from wafer cell to module with traceability and excellent product competitiveness. As we continue to invest in N-type capacity expansion overseas in the second half, we will reach an integrated capacity of over 12 gigawatts overseas by the end of 2023, with N-type accounting for over 75%. We will continuously strengthen our and expand our global industrial chain to provide premium and high-quality products and services to our global clients.
作为全球极具创新力的光伏企业，我们始终勇担社会责任。 把 ESG 管理架构的持续完善作为公司可持续发展的重要举措。二季度，我们基于科学碳目标倡议建议的方法和要求，制定了近零排放的目标及路线图，积极以实际行动推动全球碳排放减少以及应对气候变化。我们持续完善供应链的追溯体系和第三方独立审计制度， 提升了我们的供应链可靠性，凭借着社会责任履行方面的优异表现，我们在标普全球企业可持续发展评估中获得了领先行业主流企业的成绩。同时，我们也加强了与全球可再生能源发展的领先机构和专业人士的合作。我们宣布加入了国际可再生能源机构行动联盟， 通过共享最佳实践和经验，我们致力于为全球可再生能源的可持续发展做出积极贡献。
As one of the largest and the most innovative solar module manufacturers in the world, we have always carried on social responsibility and taken a continuous improvement of our ESG management as a key measure for our sustainable development. In the second quarter, we set up a goal and a roadmap to net zero emission based on methods and requirements advised by the Science-Based Targets Initiative, SBTI, actively promoting our global carbon emissions reduction and addressing climate change with concrete actions. With outstanding performance in social responsibility fulfillment, we led the mainstream PV industry in the S&P Global Corporate Sustainability Assessment. We improved our traceability system and independent third-party audit mechanism to enhance our supply chain reliability. Meanwhile, we enhanced our cooperation with leading institutions and professionals in global renewable energy development and joined the International Renewable Energy Agency, IRENA. Through sharing best practice and experience, we are dedicated to making a positive contribution to the sustainable advancement of renewable energy globally.
总之，我们对光伏行业的发展充满信心，我们会持续强化一体化的运营管理，并看好光伏加储能的长期发展前景，积极布局储能业务，持续增强公司的竞争力。话题交给Jenna之前，我来介绍一下 业绩指引，预计2023年底 N 型电池量产效率将达到 25.8%。 我们看好产业链的价格企稳下的需求陆续启动，上调全年出货量目标 70到75吉瓦，其中 N 型组件出货将达到 60% 左右。 随着全球市场对 N 型产品的需求不断增加，我们持续投资具备技术和成本竞争力的 N 型产能，预计2023年底单晶硅片、高效电池组件产能将达到85、90和110吉瓦，其中 N 型产能占比 75% 以上。2023年第三季度公司组件出货量在19到21吉瓦之间。
In summary, we are confident in the development of the PV industry. We will continue to enhance our integrated operations and management. We are positive about the long-term prospect of PV plus energy storage model and will continue to grow our competitiveness by actively developing our energy storage business. Before turning over to Jenner, I would like to go over our guidance for the third quarter and the full year of 2023.By the end of 2023, we expect mass-produced N-type cell efficiency to reach 25.8%. We are optimistic that demand will grow as industrial chain prices stabilize and reach our four-year module shipments to be in the range of 70 to 75 gigawatts, with N-type module accounting for approximately 60% of total module shipments.As demand for N-type products continues to increase in the global market, we will move on to invest N-type capacity, which is competitive both in technology and cost. We expect our annual production capacity for mono wafers, solar cells, and solar modules to reach 85, 90, and 110 gigawatts, respectively, by the end of 2023.With N-type capacity accounting for over 75% of the total capacity. We expect the module shipments to be in the range of 19 to 21 gigawatts for the third quarter of 2023.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Total shipments in the second quarter were around 18.6 gigawatts, over 95% of which were module shipments.We are glad that total module shipment in the first half of 2023 exceeds 30 gigawatts, making us the number one in the PV industry for the first half module shipment. In terms of product mix, N-type Tiger Neo accounted for 58% of the module shipment in the second quarter, a steady increase from nearly 50% in the previous quarter, thanks to its high power output, quality, and reliability.In terms of geographic mix, China and Europe remain the largest regions in the second quarter, accounting for over 50% together. The proportions of other markets remain relatively stable. Most importantly, we are glad and proud to see both the efficiency of custom clearance and the size of our shipment to the U.S. market improve sequentially, benefiting from our dedicated efforts.As we continue to make effective progress, we expect our shipments to the U.S. market to gradually increase in the second half. For orders and prices, visibility of our order book has reached about 80% for the whole year of 2023, improving compared with the first quarter, with overseas orders making the majority. The declines in raw material prices drove module price lower.Recent prices for our new contracts have fluctuated within a reasonable range in line with market trends, and Tiger Neo retained a competitive premium over P-Type. With the gradual release of our N-Type capacity, we expect the Tiger Neo to accelerate its penetration into China, Europe, and emerging markets in the second half.The proportion of Tiger Neo shipment for the full year 2023 to reach around 60% of our total module shipments and its product strength to continue to lead the industry. Recently, we were awarded the top brand PV Europe Seal 2023 by EUPD Research. This recognition by our downstream partners does not only prove that Jinko Solar is one of the preferred European brands for installers to work with, but also reflect our strong reputation and commitment to our customers as a leading supplier and N-type TOPCon technology leader. In addition, we are recognized as 2023 overall highest achiever for the first consecutive year in Renewable Energy Testing Center's PV Module Index Report, a reaffirmation of quality, bankability, and the reliability of our product. In summary, we are happy to navigate through volatility in supply chain prices and end demand in second quarter, leveraging our advantage in terms of global marketing network, industrial chain layout, and product competitiveness. Meanwhile, we continued to improve our mechanism to cope with risks and enhance our customer relations and marketing network. As supply chain prices stabilized recently, we are optimistic about the return of demand in the global market for the second half. In medium and long term, as the economy of solar power becomes more and more prominent, the PV market will move forward at a healthy and sustainable growth pace. We expect China, the US, Europe, and other developed markets to grow at a steady pace, and the emerging market to continuously expand in size. We are confident we will provide more economic value to our customers with excellent products and services and continue to grow our market share. With that, I will turn the call to Pat.
Thank you, Jenner. We are pleased to report strong financial results in the second quarter, with quarterly total revenues, gross profit, income from operations, and net income all reaching historical new high. Recently, our majority-owned principal operating subsidiary, Jinko Solar Company Limited, announced its intention to issue ordinary shares for no more than RMB 9.7 billion to fund the construction of our N-type integrated production facility in Shanxi. This expansion of an advanced integrated production capacity will help us to continuously improve our cost structure and increase in equity capital will also help us improve our capital structure. As we keep enhancing our global industrial chain, marketing network, and product competitiveness, we hope to achieve healthy and sustainable profitability. Let me go into more details now. Total revenue was over 4.2 billion, up 32% sequentially, and up 63% year-over-year. Gross margin was 15.6% compared to 14.7% in the second quarter last year. We continue to make good progress in clearing customs in the U.S. market, significantly reducing demurrage charges compared with the first quarter this year. Total operating expenses accounted for 11% of total revenues compared with 12% in the first quarter this year and 16% in the second quarter last year, improving sequentially and year over year. Income from operations was 212 million compared with income from operations of 176 million in the first quarter this year and loss from operations of 43 million in the second quarter last year, improving sequentially and year over year. Operating margin was about 5%, flat compared with the first quarter this year and loss margin of 1.5% in the second quarter last year, also improving year over year. Net income attributed to Jinko Solar Holdings ordinary shareholders was about 180 million, up 66% sequentially, and compared to a net loss attributed to the Jinko Solar Holdings ordinary shareholders of about 93 million, improving year over year. Excluding the impact from a change in fair value of notes, a change in fair value of long-term investments and share-based compensation expenses, adjusted net income attributed to the ordinary shareholders was about 197 million, up about 71% sequentially, and up 2.9 times year-over-year. Diluted earnings per share was 77 cents in the second quarter, up about 49% sequentially, and compared to diluted loss per share of 47 cents in the second quarter last year, improving year-over-year. Moving to the balance sheet, at the end of the second quarter, our cash and cash equivalents were about 2.35 billion, up from 1.48 billion at the end of the first quarter this year, improving sequentially. Accounts receivable turnover days were 79 days compared with 95 days in the first quarter. Inventory turnover days decreased to 17 days in the second quarter from 100 days in the first quarter. Total debt was 4.7 billion at the end of the second quarter compared to 4.4 billion at the end of the first quarter. Net debt was 2.4 billion compared to 2.9 billion at the end of the first quarter this year. This concludes our prepared remarks. We're now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. The first question today comes from Brian Lee with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions. This is Grace on for Brian. I guess first questions around the ASP trajectory. Obviously, polysilicon had a big decline in 2Q, though it has stabilized in recent week. At the same time, like, we are hearing some oversupplied in certain areas of the market. So just wonder if you can talk about the ASP and maybe the margin trajectory moving through the rest of the year and maybe into 2024. Thank you.
Hey, this is Charlie speaking, and, you know, firstly, I want to talk, you know, this year is a very big, solar market, and, you know, a lot of markets are very strong, including China, United States, and European markets, and we delivered a very strong performance for the first half year, and in terms of the, you know, revenue shipments, the next generation N-type TOPCon, we are leading the industries and take about 50% market share, you know, now 50% of portfolios is from N-type. And we believe we will continue to the momentums throughout the year. And N-type, because of the cutting edge, and it's a very strong, you know, great functions, you know, for end customers, and have, you know, advanced, you know, more power output for the end customer, and we are seeing the market is accepting the, you know, the N-type, you know, is going to dominate the market, and will continue the, you know, supply relative shortage even, you know, throughout next year. So back to your questions on ASP, it's, you know, the first half year is pretty, you know, relatively stable. And starting from the June this year, because of the polysilicon relatively oversupply situations, and make the solar modules have the relatively adjustments. It's if you're looking for the midterm perspective, we think it's very good, you know, for the downstream and accelerate the demands from, you know, different markets. And it will also generate, you know, solar and storage, you know, the big markets in the future. And for the ASP trend, it's relatively in line with the industry. You know, the second half year it's for sure in the downward trend, but it has been stabilized. And We believe thanks to the very, very strong, you know, China installations, particularly in Q4 this year, the ASP will maintain and maybe possibly, you know, relatively in upward trend. And for the profit margins, you know, profitabilities, we strongly believe, you know, and we almost closed out the sales order this year, and over 80% is, you know, booked. And so we are planning actually for the next year. And for this year, we believe the momentum will continue, and year over year, it's a very good year for Jinko, you know, in terms of the profitability, even the second half year. And the N-type will take the, you know, more shipments for Jinko in the second half year, 60% to 65%, which is 50% in the first half year. And on top of that, U.S. market is very positive for us, you know, for the starting from the third quarter. And, you know, our modules was detained, you know, starting from last year. And we have done a lot of work, traceabilities, ESGs, and the communications with relevant, you know, U.S. regulators. And starting from July, and our modules and the, you know, the speed of the, let's say, going through the customs has been speed up, and we are expecting, you know, our shipments to the U.S. market will be accelerated starting the third quarter, and we have also get ready for the overseas capacities, 12 gigawatts integrated, starting from wafer to modules and to for the U.S. market next year. So next year will be a very big, you know, mark year for Jinko to have the more market share in the U.S. And as well as we have been, you know, in expansion for the U.S. module capacities, 1 gigawatt is in place, and we plan to start the, you know, operations from the end of the third quarter. So yeah, that's back to your questions, you know, overall.
Thanks, Charlie. That's super. Maybe I missed it. Can you provide us your updated CapEx number for 23? And then also you talked about like 12 gigawatts for overseas capacity next year. So just wonder if you can provide us the CapEx number and how you think about funding it. Because I think you mentioned like these the equity that or the capital that you raise in China cannot be used in the U.S. So just wonder how you think about capital raise here. Thank you.
Yes, yeah. And, for the CapEx this year, it's roughly 15 billion RMB. And we estimate, you know, first half year, we have generated around, you know, roughly 55 billion, 5.5 billion RMB, you know, operating cash flows. And this year we estimate over 10 billion operating cash flows, you know, this year. And as well as we have completed the convertible loans, you know, in the second quarter in Asia. So we have sufficient cash, you know, to support the CapEx. And next year, the overseas capacities almost we will complete it by the end of this year. So we don't foresee any, you know, additional cash needs next year for the 12 gigawatts integrated capacities.
Thank you. I'll take the rest offline.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Philip Shen with Roth MKM. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, this is Matt on for Phil. Thanks for taking the questions. Looking at the U.S. market, there is this expectation in the industry that modules made with China poly that was not from Xinjiang could get into the U.S., but we haven't really been seeing that yet. Do you know what might be taking so long, and when non-Xinjiang China poly modules made in Southeast Asia might get cleared by CBP?
Yeah, it's, you know, we, you know, for Jinko, we focus on, you know, 100%, you know, polysilicon out of China to serve the U.S. markets. And, you know, just like I said, you know, we are very, you know, pretty smooth and speed up the process starting from the third quarter. And for the China-based poly, and the probabilities of the, you know, we are not sure, but you know, it's possible, impossible. But from Jinko perspective, we will continue. We have signed long-term contract with, you know, the tier one and the poly makers out of China, and we will continue to increase the, you know, the out in the source and the volume from the poly producers, and the poly out of China, the, you know, the volume is roughly 10,000 metric tons, which we believe is sufficient to supply, you know, the U.S. market. As tier one companies, we can, you know, take the advantage, and we have the largest integrated capacity, 12 gigawatts, including, you know, including 75% TOPCon, you know, the N-type. So I think, you know, we can take the lead, you know, in terms of the market share, as well as the poly, you know, sourcing from the suppliers out of China.
Do you think it's possible that non-China poly not made in Xinjiang ever makes it into the U.S.? Just kind of curious on your view.
I'm not in a position to make, you know, the predictions or the judgment, but, you know, from the legal perspective, you know, the traceabilities, and if you can do, you know, but from the implementation perspective, from the relevant regulators, we are not sure their positions.
Okay. Thank you for the color. I'll pass it along.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. The next question comes from Rajiv Chaudhry with Sunsara Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning and good evening. And first of all, congratulations on a superb quarter and for the very strong guidance. One question that has not been asked yet is about the inventory reserve that you have taken in the quarter. Normally, your inventories tend to go up every quarter because you are growing the business, and they go up by $200 to $250 million a quarter. This time, your inventories sequentially were down about $200 million quarter to quarter. And so my first question is it reasonable to think that the inventory reserve that you took was actually in the neighborhood of $400 million, which would make sense given the sharp decline in the prices of poly? And obviously, at any point in time, you have a lot of poly in your work in process. So the first question is the inventory reserve in the ballpark of $350 or $400 million, and that your gross margin without this inventory reserve would actually be in the mid-20s in the second quarter?
Yeah. Hello, Rajiv. This is Pat. And as I mentioned to the inventory reserve, yes, actually, we made some inventory reserve in the second quarter. And this is also impacted our margin, gross margin. Yeah. This is only a temporary treatment of the inventory. We don't think it will be a long-term treatment to our inventory.
I understand that part. Obviously, it's a one-time thing. The question is, was it in the ballpark of $400 million? And that your if the reserve was not taken, your true earnings would be $400 million higher.
You mean 400 million is one number? It's we provided roughly, I think, 500 million RMB inventory provisions, and second quarter I think we do pretty good, and we anticipated, let's say, the poly decline starting from June, so we speed up, you know, the inventory, you know, goods delivery and control the inventories very tight. That is why you are saying, you know, our total inventory, the numbers is relatively lower, you know, quarter over quarter. And but we still have some kind of the orders and targeting the residential markets. And the residential markets are, you know, it's a kind of the 2C customers, and they, you know, they are typically when the supply chain, particularly the end price has a significant, let's say, adjustment, which we typically will offer some price discounts to the residential customers. That is why, from the accounting perspective, by the end of the second quarter, we recorded additional inventory one-time, you know, provisions, and we don't believe, you know, that is a recurring items in the future.
Charlie, I understand it is not an ongoing thing. My question simply is reflecting the what was the true earning power of the company in the second quarter, and what I'm trying to get at is that if you exclude the impact that the sharp decline in poly prices has had on the inventory reserve, that your earnings would have been a lot higher, not just somewhat higher, but a lot higher, maybe as much as $400 million higher.
Oh, you mean, you know, if, let's say, the poly price has relatively stabilized and the module price is, you know, is relatively stable. And for sure, you know, if that is the case and we are able to generate more earnings, yeah, significantly.
So is it fair to say that without this inventory reserve, the gross margin could have been in the mid-20s, 24-25%?
Well, I think it's roughly, I think without that, it's roughly up to 20%.
And you expect it to be higher in the third quarter because the rate at which the price of modules is coming down is slower than the rate at which the poly price is coming down.
Yeah, we expect, you know, continue the strong earnings, and because the you know, the N type module, they have strong earning generation power. We get more percentage shipments, and the second one is we have higher shipments in the U.S. markets, and so that is a combination of the two key factors, and of course the poly is down to be, you know, but stabilized. And module, you know, is still, you know, it's reaching kind of the stabilized point.
Also, my next question is about the storage business. Did the storage business contribute any revenues in the second quarter? And what should we expect for the full year?
Yes, storage is, you know, from long-term perspective, it's our kind of the, we expect it's going to be a very big, very important business unit from the long-term 3 to 5 years. But this year is a kind of investment year. We invest on the you know, teams, sales channels, and R&D, you know, even we still invest some small capacities. The revenue contribution for this year is not significant, and we even make some, you know, we are expecting this year, for the investment year, we, you know, we will make some kind of, you know, small losses for the business, But for the future, looking to the next year, it's going to be a very big, you know, let's say, you know, high goals, you know, the segment for Jinko.
So will you hit a few hundred million dollars this year or not really?
Not this year. No, not this year. It's, you know, this year, I think, you know, maybe I think, you know, but we don't disclose the numbers, but again, it's a kind of the early investment, you know, segment, the business unit. But we have roughly reached a, you know, sizable teams, including the key functions, and by the end of the fourth quarter, and we think we are in a good position. And for next year, you know, to penetrate the storage market.
Right. Also, going back to the cost of polysilicon, is it fair to think that the average cost of the polysilicon in the second quarter was roughly 3 cents lower than the cost of polysilicon that you had in the first quarter?
So, sorry, could you repeat your question?
Yeah, my question is on the cost of polysilicon. And I'm talking not about the cost of polysilicon in the market, but the cost of polysilicon that you embedded in your earnings, in your operations and therefore your earnings. Is it fair to think that the cost of polysilicon in the second quarter was roughly 3 cents, excluding the inventory reserve, was roughly 3 cents lower than the first quarter cost of polysilicon?
I didn't have the numbers. I know your questions. And Q1, I think, you know, the poly starting to generate a kind of very big rebound and slightly down month over month and significantly decline starting from the June. And I think right. It's, you know, but starting in June, it's a small impact on the Q2 financial figures because we have, you know, the inventory turnover is 60 days, you know, 30 days. So it's, we can get back to you, you know, after the call, but I think it's slightly lower, you know, the poly from the financial statements perspective. Second quarter versus Q1.
And also, one last question. Is it fair to say that at this point in the third quarter, your average cost, your total cost per watt is under 15 cents?
Yeah, we don't disclose the numbers. It's a kind of competitive, you know, advantage and let's say information. But you know, it's a significant improvement. You know, back to your questions in third quarter, starting from July, and as well as you know the you know we continue to improve our internal you know operations, which is the supply chain, you know, the cost, and so it's a significant improvement and. But we don't disclose the cost structure, even the including a total, you know, production cost. Yeah.
Right. And a final question, Charlie. You know, First Solar has made a point of noting that they have a lot of long-term contracts going out multiple years, going out 2, 3, 4 years, and Maxeon has said the same thing. And these contracts are for prices in the high 20s going out multiple years. Do you think that kind of pricing that far out is really sustainable given what is actually happening to prices in the market right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, U.S. market generally is a very big market, sustainable long growth, and there are a lot of disruptions, you know, from the recent 2 years, because of the, let's say, the WRO, UFLPA, so it makes the supply, you know, tight. And so some of the, let's say the local producers take the advantage, sign a lot of, you know, long-term contracts. But from the long-term perspective, we still, the silicon-based technology, you know, has the absolute, you know, 100% advantage, you know, versus other technology. And so now it's the focus is overseas polysilicon supply, you know, relative shortage. And we are able to, let's say next year we were, it's going to be a very big year for Jinko. And we have secured the sufficient, I think, you know, poly out of China. And so we are able to sign, you know, very, I think, you know, very decent, you know, contracts. And with, let's say, the policy stabilized, and we are able to, you know, get more contracts, not only next year, maybe next 2 or 3 years. So that's, you know, historically, we take the majority, a very big market share in the U.S., 20-25%, because of disruptions, but we have overcome the disruptions. And so for the long term, we think, you know, we are in a good positions with our peers.
Final question. Will you be able to take advantage of the IRA in terms of the production that you are starting with the 1 gigawatt N-type product in the U.S.?
You mean IRA, you know, you mean, is, you know, Jinko is, let's say, applicable or not? We think it's IRA is kind of very transparent, you know, policies, and it's for the local productions in the U.S. And but when we do that, we don't, let's say, depend on 100% on IRA. We think relatively size, you know, local productions and, you know, local content makes, you know, Jinko the more, you know, competitive in the market. But we strongly believe the IRA is, we are, you know, qualified, let's say, the IRA.
Okay. So you expect that you will be able to benefit from it, but you're not counting on it.
Yeah, we don't account on it. We do work conservative accounting. I know some peers, you know, the U.S. Producers, they do accrue basis, even they record it on the cost of goods sold. You know, that's a different, you know, accounting perspective, but we didn't do that. We want to do it on cash basis, you know, based on the, you know, the application and the fund of the IRA in the future.
Okay. Thank you and congratulations again.
Thank you. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one to enter the question queue. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. The next question comes from Alan Lau with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question and congratulations for the great result. So a couple of questions to follow up. So first of all, I would like to clarify. So the amount, because in the Asia reporting, the overall impairment in 2Q was around 1.3 billion RMB. So in U.S. Reporting, around 500 million is recorded in cost of revenue, and the remaining is under the impairment of long life assets. So is this understanding correct?
Yeah, you're right. That's a kind of different presentations in different, you know, the accounting standards. And in the U.S., the inventory provisions is typically an item of cost of goods sold. But in China, the PRC standards, they have separate, you know, line called, you know, kind of the assets impairment, including everything, you know, the fixed assets and as well as the inventories. So that's a kind of the presentation different accounting standards.
Yeah. Thank you. So if we add back 500 million of inventory impairment, so the gross margin in Q2 is actually improving compared to Q1, right?
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
And then another thing is the impairment of long-life assets, to my understanding, are those equipment, which we can also expect it is a one-off thing, right? Because the impairment of equipment won't happen every quarter.
It's a one-off, and we provided, you know, for the small, you know, size, you know, and small size module cell capacities, and you know, we to make our assets to be more competitive, you know, on the balance sheet.
Thank you. And then and another question is in relation to the port charges, because I recall that in 4Q last year and the first quarter this year, there were port charges affecting the margin. So what is the situation of the port charges in the U.S. in 2Q, and what do you expect in 3Q with the acceleration in the clearance of the products?
So, you know, for the port charges and in the first quarter, we have 400 million, you know, RMB, you know, port charges is for the U.S. and because it's detained modules and very high, you know, storage costs. And the second quarter, the improvement a lot to 200 million RMB, one quarter. And but starting from the third quarter, we believe, you know, the port charges will be a very small numbers. And because our modules have been, you know, cleaned up and speed up the, you know, the on the U.S., you know, the custom side.
So thanks a lot. So this is an exciting development, actually. So it leads to the next question as to how much U.S. shipment has been sold to the U.S. in the first and second quarter.
Oh, you mean the shipment percentage, right? The total, the U.S. shipment against the total shipments. It's 5% to 10% in that range.
Understood. So for this year, after we raise our guidance to 70 to 75 gigawatt, 5 to 10% is around like 4 to 7 gigawatt. So next year, our target is 12 gigawatt. Is it correct?
No, it's roughly 10% of market shipment next year, and it could be in a range. Let's say, you know, above 10 gigawatts, and depending on, you know, the particularly the supply side, you know, the poly side, and but we are confident with 10 gigawatts is a kind of the base case,
right? Yeah, thank you. So that's actually quite a strong improvement from this year, like 4 to 7 gigawatts to 10 gigawatts still. So would like to know what is your expectation on U.S. installation next year on this basis? Because this year probably U.S. I think the base case is like around 30 gigawatts. So I think the company is implying market share gain in next year, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a go back to normal strategy, right? So in the last 2 years time, we got stuck by different regions, different reasons. And now we have seen, you know, positively, you know, things start to go back to normal. That's why we are expecting a kind of a normal market share or normal stable supply from JinkoSolar to U.S. market. That's why we expect, you know, around 10% of our total shipment that goes to U.S. market next year.
What is your expectation on U.S. installation in 2024 then? Like, approximately?
Well, it depends. It's really, we see a robust demand there. So it's really a question of whether the supply will be normal or it will be, let's say, strictly under the UFLPA inspection, right? That will decide what could be the size of a U.S. market. It could be somewhere from 30 gigawatt to even up to 50 gigawatt. It really depends on the supply side.
Thank you. So my last question is basically for the polysilicon supply correspondingly, because 12 gigawatt approximately you still need quite a lot of polysilicon, like probably around like 20 to 30,000 tons. So have we locked in that supply already?
Majority part we have locked, and the overseas capacity is 100,000. Sorry, 10,000 metric tons, right? 100,000 metric tons, which can support, let's say, you know, I think roughly 50 gigawatts, and we take 20% market share from the, let's say, the poly supply side. We are as confident, and as well as some of the overseas capacity, we still have some flexibility to increase the capacity. So we're thinking, you know, we can achieve that.
Thanks a lot. So I've got a final question on A-share placement. So will that eventually lead to dilution of the U.S. share, U.S. shareholding?
Yes. If, it's probably maybe 7% to 9% dilution, but it's not significant. And we take, the U.S., you know, has 58%, you know, the shareholding of the A-share.
Yep.
And if let's assume 10%, you know, the maximum, maybe it should be lower. It's roughly 53, right? 5%, you know, the difference, the lower.
Understood. So thanks a lot for taking my question, and congratulations again for the great results. Thank you.
Thank you.
This does conclude our question and answer session and our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.